Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Radio. I'm the Big Jack with me, Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to call. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blog is up on Wednesday and Saturday, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan, you know, the Braves have always been, you know, they've, you know, or I should say they have been the last 3 years at least, a better team. You know, they've got their young guys going, and, you know, they're looking like a quality team. But I got to tell you, I'm a little concerned here this year because right out of the gate, they seem to be winning the off season. And, you know, we know how bad that is. But, you know, they signed closer Will Smith almost immediately and when the off season started. They reworked their deals with Tyler Flowers and Nick Markakis to give themselves a little more money in free agency. And then just yesterday, they went out and signed Travis Dinald. He got a 2-year, $16 million deal. Pretty simple, straightforward, nothing fancy. It's just $8 million for each year. You know, Dinald was a highly, highly rated prospect that Mr. Fantasy loved for a very long time while he was a Met. Couldn't stay healthy, never really figured it out in New York. I believe did they end up releasing him, or did they just throw him in some kind of deal? No, they did release him, and the Dodgers signed him. He only played one game in the majors for the Dodgers. Last year he signed on with Tampa Bay, and I don't know what it is when you go to Tampa Bay, but apparently he figured it out. Now, he was just a part-time guy, but he hit .263, which was the second best in his career, and he hit 16 home runs, which tied a career high in just 92 games. His 67 RBIs were the second highest of his career. You know, obviously he's going to split time in Atlanta with Tyler Flowers, so he'll probably catch about this number of games next year, maybe closer to 100. Fluke here, Dan, with last year, or do you think he figured it out and the Braves made a good signing? And I told Dan to start the podcast.
No, I muted myself before I was getting in the car. So if you want to go back, rewind, and listen to everything I just said because you couldn't hear me, we don't have the capability. But, you know, I guess what I was getting to was, did he play full-time for the Mets? Was he their only catcher?
Well, he was supposed to, but he couldn't stay healthy.
Most
games he ever played for them was 112. In 2017.
Well, maybe that's when it started to kind of get better and click for him. But, you know, the first thing that stands out to me is kind of partnering up, which I think is a good thing, especially with Tyler Flowers, which I was just kind of cracking up to myself because, you know, he didn't immediately fill A.J. Pierzynski's spot. So he was, you know, left for dead, so to speak. And are you kind of surprised how long his career has lasted post not living up to AJ's shoes up here on the South Side of Chicago?
Yeah, you know, in a way, he's been a bit of a surprise, but, you know, I think it helped that they really liked him in Atlanta, so they were willing to kind of allow him to grow. And, you know, I think part of what happened is, you know, people looked at him and they saw, you know, this 6 foot, you know, 6'4", 200 and whatever monster behind the plate. And they immediately thought, oh yeah, well, we've got a 40 home run hitting catcher, and he's just not that guy.
Yeah. Well,
so,
I mean, does it matter anymore? Does it matter your size anymore? You're just automatically supposed to hit 35 home runs.
Well, remember, this was back before, you know, they were juicing up the baseballs and,
yeah,
you know, all that stuff. They assumed that he was this monster home run hitter. You know, and we're looking at a guy who, you know, even last year with the juice baseball only hit 11. You know, it's just not part of his game. You know, what he brings is, you know, he's a quality defensive player and, you know, a very good, a very good pitch handler. You know, not so much a framer like they like to talk about. He just handles the staff really well. So,
yeah, and
you know, those are things that sometimes are more important when you're a catcher.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going with it. You know, he's lasted pretty long with them, and, you know, I think he's silently been a pretty solid catcher, and I'm not going to make any comparisons, but when you kind of think about it, he's almost kind of fallen into that David Ross-esque role, wherein, you know, he wasn't the most popular guy until they played a stupid song for him for the Cubs and he became Grandpa Rossi, but that's all another topic. So, no, I think, you know, with the Braves, I think it's a good move for them because it's not an over-the-top move to sign Travis to their team. You know, the money is pretty good for them. You know, I'm sure it's pretty solid for him. It's definitely, you know, half. I think you and I would definitely split his salary for even half a year. You know, I wouldn't mind that. So, you know, I think it's a good, you know, what signifies the winning in the offseason? I think usually the team that wins it in the media's eyes are the guys that make the Bryce Harper, Manny Machado signing. So, but, you know, I think they're making good moves. And that's one of the things that's going to kind of help them maintain their spot because they've got to figure out something because they've proven that they can get to the postseason. Now they've got to do something to get to the World Series and actually win some games in the postseason. So I think, you know, Travis could probably learn some good stuff from Flowers.
Yeah, well, you know, and it should be a good mix because, like, I don't believe either guy is a full-time catcher. So it should be a really combination of having, you know, both guys there. So,
yeah, well, because they obviously didn't go for the trade with the Cubs to get Wilson.
Right. You know, yeah, it was one of the things that was reported, you know, very, you know, early on that they were interested. But, you know, to be fair, if, you know, Wilson Contreras was available, there would be, you know, probably 25 teams in line to trade for him.
Yep.
So,
except the White Sox. What's
You know, a couple other, you know, I don't know if you want to, how you want to describe them. You want to call them interesting. You just want to call them kind of names that, you know, we might know. But, you know, last year, you know, the Cubs brought Kendall Graveman in on real low money, hoping they would see something and he could recover from Tommy John and they would pick up his option and he could be part of the team this year. Well, they decided not to pick up his option and let him wander off into free agency. Now, he pitched two games last year, just six innings as he was recovering from Tommy John. Apparently, he didn't show the Cubs enough as they decided to let him walk, and he agreed on a one-year deal to join the Mariners. It looks like it's $1.5 million with escalators.
Nice. I like that.
So,
you know how I feel about incentive-based contracts.
Yeah.
So. But, you know, and maybe it'll be good for him to be back in the AL West, you know, kind of see some of his old teammates, you know, going up against them, see how he can handle that, and, you know, some old foes, as they say.
Yeah, you know, and he was another one of those young guys that, you know, the A's were developing, and he was going to be something, and it just never really happened. You know, his best year was 2016 when he made 31 starts. He went 10-11 with a 4.11 ERA. The Mariners are going to be a bad team again next year, so if he could put up those numbers with them, they would probably be pretty happy with him.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of early today, so I'm going to take my early break, but did I read this right the other day that the White Sox outright just let go of Yomar Sanchez?
Yeah, I was sad to hear that. We can talk about that when you get back. So
okay.
I'll wait for you to wander back. But, yeah, now, you know, we talked about one Rays catcher in Travis Dunald, who's now a former Ray. The other catcher there who split time with him was Mike Zunino. The Rays have worked out a contract agreement with him, so he'll be their catcher next season. He's going to make $4.5 million there. You know, of course, you know, you remember Zunino, a former Mariner who, you know, there's no other way to really say it, kind of got rushed to the majors by Seattle, and it didn't help him early on, and he's never really seemed to recover. You know, he played in 90 games for Tampa Bay last year, but he only got 266 at-bats, 9 homers, 32 RBIs, but he hit just .165. So, you know, and he's only a career 202 hitter. He is another guy, though, who is very good defensively. You know, and I know that they do have the Rays have been, or it's been talked about, they have a prospect by the name of Michael Perez that they've been talking about for a few years. Maybe this opens up for him to get the possibility to be the number one catcher. Just a small sample size, the last couple seasons. In 2018, he popped up for 24 games and hit .284. You know, last year in 22 games, he hit just .217. So, you know, you got to figure it's kind of somewhere in the middle. But, you know, even so, I mean, this guy was a prospect. He's now 27. So sooner or later, you know, that prospect tag kind of goes away. But it looks like that's going to be their combination this year there in Tampa Bay. We'll get, you know, Zunino and Perez, and we'll see how it kind of goes for them. I don't know if there's enough average there, but maybe there's a good enough defense and, you know, like I said, pitch handling to, you know, satisfy them, and they seem to win. So you can't, you can't argue with it too much, right? Yeah, I guess. And then pitching wise, Rich Hill has been pretty much injury prone from I don't know how long now, and he is a free agent. But it came out yesterday that he is going to need surgery on his. I want to double check this. I thought I saw it was his ulnar collateral, UCL, ulnar collateral ligament, and it doesn't appear that he's going to be ready to pitch till June. Now, you know, looking at it, this isn't, a huge deal. I mean, you're looking at a guy, you run over his last, since he's been with the Dodgers full time. He made 13 starts last year, 24 the year before that, and 25 before the year before that. Now, the numbers are good for those starts. I mean, like last year he was 4-1 with a .245 ERA, but he didn't even pitch 60 innings. So, you know, you're looking if you get him back come June, depending on where, but you figure you're looking at July, August, September. You know, you get 3 full months of starts out of him. You know, what could it possibly be? You're getting 12 at the most, 12 starts. And that's if he stays healthy. you know, which again is a big if and the huge question behind Rich Hill when you talk about it. I mean, when you look at his career numbers, how about this? He made 32 starts one time in his career. It was in 2007. Yeah. So the most games he ever did throw in, when he was a reliever in Cleveland back in 2013, he actually pitched in 63 games but wasn't very good. He had an ERA of 6.28. But, you know, he did go to the mound. So I – you know, you've got to wonder. I mean, there's definitely going to be a team that's going to take a look at him when he's ready. You know, I won't even be surprised if maybe a team signs him to, you know, a contract where, you know, it's all – you know, he gets the minimum salary and everything else is incentive-based, because he's working back from this injury, and maybe they tag on an option to see, you know, kind of like the Cubs did with Graveman, where they signed him low money. He does his rehab. You get what you can get out of him. And then you have to decide, well, do we want to keep him? What do we want to do with him? You know, how's this going to work out? But I would assume, yeah, a contender would definitely be looking at him to see if you could add him, you know, add him pretty low money. You know, and then another under the radar move, and this is something I really like. I don't know how it'll work out here, but the Phillies have signed Josh Harrison to a minor league deal, of course, with an invite to spring training. That's how these things go. You know, Harrison played very well for the Pirates, you know, was a utility guy there in Pittsburgh. Actually made a couple all-star teams. He was so popular as a utility guy. The Pirates didn't want to pay him. You know, nothing new with Pittsburgh. You know, this is a guy who, you know, ran out his arbitration, and they weren't going to, you know, going to pay the money that it was going to take to keep him around. The Tigers took a chance with them, and it just didn't work. He only played in 36 games because of injury. You know, obviously with the rebuilding Tigers, they decided not to bring him back. But, you know, if the Phillies can bring him in and plug him in, and he can go back to being that utility guy. And now we're talking about a utility guy who can play, you know, second, short, third, and both corner outfield positions. So it could be a big, big ad for a contender like the Phillies to have this guy. And now he's produced in this role before, besides last year where he just hit 175, you know, he's had, you know, like he hit 315 one year for the Pirates. So, you know, I think that this could be kind of one of those, you know, under the radar signings where we're looking at it going, you know, that was a pretty good move, and nobody really talked about it because it happened in November and before Thanksgiving. You know, like I haven't even heard anybody say anything about it yet today. But, you know, it's definitely a smart signing on Philadelphia's part. And, you know, you're not taking a huge risk. I mean, if it doesn't work out, you know, or if he doesn't look good in spring training, you could – you know, you can let him go, and nothing is really lost there. But it's definitely a big plus for them to ink a guy like that and take a look at him. And you know, it's something they need. I know a lot of times they're going to go out and get a regular third baseman. Now Harrison isn't going to be that guy. You know, he's definitely a utility guy, but you know, this may free up Scott Kingery to play regularly somewhere. So it should be interesting to see if he can kind of regain some of that form and if he's useful for, you know, for the Phillies.
Wasn't Kingery a Pirate too?
That was actually a different Kingery. So.
Oh.
You know, just how that worked out. But yeah, Dan mentioned before he let off, there were actually, you know, a couple of guys, Dan, that got waived. Like you mentioned, Yomer Sanchez, the White Sox decided to to cut him loose instead of going to salary arbitration with him, you know, and having to pay him whatever he was awarded. He's going to become a free agent. The other guy, I don't know if you saw this one, Dan, but the Rays decided to cut bait with Matt Duffy after a couple of injury problems. So yeah, a couple of guys that, you know, we've liked. I mean, like I understand Yomer's not a great ball player. He did just win a Gold Glove.
That's what I was like.
You know,
I'm like, you know, you have a young kid who wins a Gold Glove off of a team that wasn't going anywhere, despite the fact that all you have to do is show up and play ball in the American League Central, and you could win the division. I mean, the team who got rid of high profile players almost was at the verge of winning the division. And they were getting rid of their players. And yet, you're on a team that's building, and you've got a young kid who goes out and wins a Gold Glove, which, of all teams, the White Sox should know that it's not all home runs that wins you a World Series, because that's how they won it. Well, you know, they won it, a World Series, with a team that all had different, you know, personalities, and everyone had a different role. You didn't have 1 through 9 that were all, quote, power hitters. So it just kind of baffled me that they would want to go that route. I mean, was Grandal's contract so rich that they couldn't afford whatever he was going to get in arbitration?
Yeah, well, you know that, and, you know, his – you know, Sanchez's numbers aren't great.
No.
You know, so it kind of – you know, if this was, I don't know, what, 10 years ago – they would have hung on to him because that's the kind of player you used to look for. But in today's game, I mean, he's kind of outdated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, a quality defender with no power.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, what's his name? I don't know why I can't think of his name now. The shortstop, the young kid, Tim Anderson's finally kind of getting his act together. But there were games I went to last year where Yomar wasn't in there. And well, I guess I did forget about Yoan Moncada. But his defense isn't that great. And what happens in the later innings when you're wanting that defensive swap, you know, moving a guy like Moncada or whoever plays third base out to put this guy in so that you can ensure the double play happens or, you know, the hot shots to third base are taken care of when your team still plays defense like it's a minor league team. So that'll be interesting next year. Would you ever have thought I'd be knocking the White Sox for dropping a kid? I didn't think I'd go that far.
there is always the chance they could bring him back. You know, what they just didn't want to do is they didn't want to pay the arbitration award, you know, because he was probably looking at $8 million or something, or, you know, something close to that. And, you know, while it doesn't sound like a lot in today's game, I just don't think that's a number you're looking to pay Yomer Sanchez. You know, if they could bring it back at half that or maybe $5 million, that might make them a little happier. So, you know, we'll see if that works out. But I really figure, you know, if he's out there, there's got to be a team that wants him as a late-inning defensive replacement, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the first team he's going to, because everyone goes there, is the Yankees. But
he goes to the Yankees.
You know, and I did not read the article, but if you're on MLB.com or if you just hit the news button on their app, you could read all about, which I did not take the time to because you and I both know, why the Yankees are going to go all in on Gerrit Cole.
Yeah. All right.
You know, and the reason I didn't read it, and you could further elaborate, Big Jack, but I feel like any team that signs him is going all in, regardless if you're the Yankees or not. Am I wrong in that?
I don't care.
Well, no,
you know, the Yankees are going to be.
But that's not my point. But do you kind of get my point, though, that whether it's the Yankees or the Rays, for that matter, whoever signs him is going all in.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, I would really love for MLB.com to be my go-to for some of this news. But, I mean, it's like, come on, guys. Come up with something. You know, quit clickbaiting me. I stopped falling for that. I don't read this crap anymore because it's like, well, duh. It's been projected that he's going to get probably one of the richest contracts for this offseason. So whether it's the Yankees, the Padres, you know, whoever you want to throw in there, they're going to go all in because he's going to have at least, what would you say, 25 teams really pursuing him?
Well, yeah, you got to figure, you know, like I just heard that the Twins were interested, you know, and that's something the Twins normally don't do.
Yeah.
So, you know, why, you know, I mean, does that mean if the Yankees are all in, the other teams aren't? They're only part of the way in? Or can more than one team be all in?
Yeah, I know. I mean, regardless of what team you are, you're going to have to make some room. And I think the one obvious team that's not going to sign him is the Red Sox because they can't afford what they have now. Well, they can, but they don't want to take that hit anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously certain teams, you know, like you could throw the Cubs in that pile. The Cubs aren't going to sign him.
Yeah, no.
You know, I mean, he's in Chicago no matter what anybody says or does or, you know, however that works out. But, you know, they're, you know, not, you know, and obviously you throw out the lower teams, you know, the Blue Jays, and yeah, the Tigers, you know, teams like that, you know, they're not going to be bringing him in. But yeah, it's just like, well, they're all in. Okay, well, great. Aren't we all in on, I vaguely remember the Reds being all in on Yasmani Grandal, and he ended up signing with the White Sox. So,
yeah.
How did that work out?
So he must have had a lot of pie charts and a lot of research to put that article together for the Yankees being all in. But you do know,
yeah.
I mean, Big Jack, come on. Garrett Cole could end up on the north side because he's from Southern California, and Joe Madden coaches in Southern California. But he used to manage the Cubs, so there's the 6 degrees of separation.
I don't get where somebody lives makes a difference on where they sign, but, you know, hey, that's, because what's funny is they keep talking about this. Like, I heard it again with a couple guys. I think it might have been Zach Wheeler and Madison Bumgarner, who both apparently, you know, well, Bumgarner's from North Carolina, and Wheeler, I think, is from Georgia. So they're both going to the Braves.
Well, what about Buster Posey? Is he going to get traded
right,
there
and it's
too?
Kind of, you know, does that mean, you know, but what if they don't live there anymore? You know, like I think Bumgarner may still live in North Carolina, but does Wheeler still live in Georgia?
I haven't really looked
at that. Because I believe people move. You know, and I know, you know, and especially, I mean, you can attest to this, when you're married, your wife has a little bit of a say-so on where you're going to live, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
So, maybe their wives aren't from, you know, these specific areas. So, it's just so weird how they automatically assume that, well, they're from there, they're going to go back there. Do you ever think maybe they didn't like it there? You know, is it possible they didn't enjoy growing up there? Or, maybe they came from a bad neighborhood and they didn't want to, you know, go back to living, you know? But, yeah, no, it's just kind of like automatically it's like, well, he's from here, he's going to sign there. Okay, that's That's interesting, I guess. I don't know how much sense it makes or what, you know, actual research you've done to figure this one out. But, you know, good luck. You know, I mean, is it really that difficult to kind of look at where a guy's from and go, okay, well, he's signing there. You know?
I mean, it's not like LeBron James' philosophy because, I mean, his trail definitely has led him to those situations.
You know, and, you know, I mean, again, you look at it, and, I mean, it's just a such a flawed system, you know, because every, you know, you can't use it with any Latin player. It's not like they can sign with a team in Mexico.
Or the Dominican, or...
Right. But yet, you know, this is the strategy we use with every American-born player, is that he's going to sign with the team closest to where he lives. And it's just kind of like, wait, how do you come up with this? So, you know, and I mean, obviously, in some cases, it makes sense. I mean, you and I have both agreed that the Angels need pitching. I think they need more. You know, just because they signed Gerrit Cole doesn't mean they're going to win anything.
No.
But, you know, they definitely need pitching.
Well, and, you know, the other side of that coin, too, is we're still waiting for the Phillies to spend their stupid money.
Right. So... You know, yeah, that, you know, and that's just kind of the weird thing about it is it's kind of like, okay, you know, we've got all this going on, but yet, you know, I mean, well, like you know, you look at it, I mean, the White Sox weren't a contender to land Grandal. You know, they weren't even in the conversation to get him. You know, he was going to the Reds or he was going to the Mets. You know, or, you know, something like that. And next thing you know, he's a White Sox. So, it's clear that it's literally, you know, the term just shooting fish in a barrel. You have no idea where the hell any of these guys are going to go.
No, I mean, even, you know, last year, I don't think there was really any surprise with Bryce Harper going to the Phillies, except for every single Chicago Cub fan that truly believed that his post that said back-to-back with him and Chris Bryant that he was coming to play in Chicago. I think all those people were surprised. But I don't think that one was a huge stretch. But, I mean, I still think the Padres signing Manny was a little bit more of a surprise. That was, like you said, that one was a little bit more shooting fish in a barrel. Like, I would have never really picked San Diego to sign him.
Yeah, well, you know, like, you know, you mentioned it, you know, like with, you know, MLB.com, I don't know if you saw the other one, you know, the dark horse to sign Steven Strasburg. You know, because,
the White
of course,
Sox?
There's, you know, there's yeah, the White Sox are actually the team that they believe, as quoted in the article here, could step up to sign Strasburg.
Oh, wow. I was being sarcastic. That was just
signed Grandal. Yeah, they have the White Sox and the Padres, but that's the reason they think the White Sox will go after Grandal Strasburg is because they signed Grandal.
Because they played together? When?
No, just because the White Sox signed him. Because they signed Grandal, so that makes them serious.
Oh.
So, and, so, yeah, it's like, okay, well, here you go. That's just, you know, I don't know why the Braves aren't under, you know, under the radar, guys, because they just signed a catcher, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, and kind of going with the White Sox, they've never been known to really sign that huge the kind of big free agent, and it would be, they would make them a dark horse to kind of land Strasburg. But saying that they signed Grandal, that's, you know, the next one is Strasburg. I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, it would be something if they were to sign him. Although I just wonder, going back to the number one role and being the talk of the South Side, how that would work for him.
So, yeah, you can write whatever you want and think whatever you want, and there's no way in hell Steven Strasburg ends up in a White Sox uniform. So, I did laugh because when I clicked onto MLB.com, you know, you saw the article that said, you know, use the term all in, and I noticed the other one right away that used the term hot and heavy, which you could basically say is the same thing, that's all in. But this one is about Anthony Rendon, because the Rangers are apparently hot and heavy after him, even though obviously the Nationals want him back and the Dodgers are in the running there as well. So, I just kind of looking at the terms that they use, and it's like, really? You know, it's like, okay. You know, and again, I know they've got to fill space, but, you know, tell me something I don't know.
I mean, when you see these articles, do you just kind of think back to, like, Superman and the – or not even maybe Superman, but, you know, even Spider-Man with the stereotypical editor, you know, kind of mode? Oh, we got to have this headline, you know?
Yeah, it almost seems like that. You know, it's almost like, you know, yeah, you have to use – the catchphrases, you know, and it's like you've got to use, well, they're going to go all out, or this team is hot and heavy, you know, and it's just that seems to be like the things they have to go after. And it's like, okay, you know, and I'm like, okay, I get it. But, you know, at this point in time, you know, every team right now is in on Gerrit Cole, until a number actually comes out on what they're looking for or what teams are offering. So,
yeah, and we both know that's not going to happen again after, you know, the White Sox number for Manny was thrown out there. That just put everyone's panties in a bunch.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you can imagine if the White Sox do make an offer to Strasburg, it's going to be very similar to what they offered Manny, very incentive-based. And, you know, Boris isn't going to take that. There's no way he signs that deal, because there are going to be teams out there, you know, like the Angels, like the Dodgers, maybe even the Phillies, if they do have that stupid money, you know, that aren't going to make him jump through hoops like that to earn it, where he won't have to bet on himself.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just kind of funny.
Well, and you know, that's I think what always gravitated us towards the MLB trade rumors was there are no clickbait, there are no hot and heavies all in. It's just, you know, the name of the player and the team, and then the, I don't even know if you would call it an article more or less, but it basically says at this time on this day, this was reported. You know, they give us the facts, and I kind of prefer that, even though I'll be flat-out honest, their app totally sucks. So you're better off just going to their website. I tried, you know, navigating the app, and it's just – it's not that user-friendly. I don't know. I don't like it. But, you know, going to their website is great. You kind of get the information. It's right there. Like, we don't have to read through some guy who went to journalism school and asked to – pen his 12,000 words just to tell you that Shohei Ohtani is pitching off the mound.
Yeah. Yeah, you can kind of wrap that up in a, you know, a much neater package. So.
But speaking of, You like my segues today, Big Jack? They're working pretty well.
You are rolling.
You know, I mean, I would, I guess if you're an Angels fan, you're really excited about that news. But I'm just, I guess, just kind of sitting here wait and see. I don't know how to put it any better.
Yeah, you know, I'm going with intrigued.
Uh-huh.
Is what I'm going with here. Just because I honestly don't know. You know, I'm to the point where I'm wondering if maybe this is even a bad thing, and he should possibly just stick to one and try to do both.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's such a hard thing because, well, you know, I was going to say they paid all that money, but they obviously didn't pay as much as they could have if he was older. But,
yeah.
You know, the recovery hasn't been all that great for a lot of guys who come back from their first one. What usually ends up happening is Tommy John number two. So is it really in their best interest to have him firing off out there? But in the end, I mean, if he does come back to pitch next year, you know, what is his Strasburg limit? I'm going with that because of, you know, 2014 and Scott Boras. I'm calling it the Strasburg limit. You know, will he make it past four innings? Will he even be granted the courtesy of 100 pitches? You know, what would we really see out of him, and is it really worth it for the Angels to be putting him out there like that?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously he's been medically cleared, so it should be okay for him to start throwing. But, yeah, I just wonder if the whole, you know, because it, you know, it always works out. It's like, okay, well, he's going to pitch this day, so he can't hit the day before or the day after.
Which
so that leaves four other days where he can hit. But do you want him hitting all that time? I mean, if they're facing the tough lefty, does he play? You know, I mean, it's so much that kind of goes into it. I begin to wonder if it's even worth it at this point to, you know,
yeah,
through all the hoops.
Well, not only that, I mean, I know they didn't really plan on using him as a fielder, but, you know, the one guy who stands out to me is Xavier Nady. He was like the first position player that I heard of that needed Tommy John. And I mean, once he had it, you know, that's when I think he came back with the Cubs and then was dropped onto the minor leagues and, you know, tweeted about getting paid too much money to play in the minor leagues and got his release from Theo, the genius. So, I mean, you know, the position players that come back from Tommy John don't really seem to flourish after that. So it's not like you can put him out there. So it's just, you know, your options are even more dwindled down and limited.
Well, I think the weird part as well, too, is the fact that he's not allowed to play defense hurts them even more because it just limits your movement now. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, it's like, okay, here you go. You've got, you know, this guy who is just a DH and can't do anything else.
Yeah, but you technically kind of have that extra roster spot, no? Or how does that really?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess you do. And I mean, it's not horrible, but, you know, it's just the idea of, well, here you go. Here's your DH. This is it.
Yeah. Well, when I mean,
you know, and you know,
I obviously,
Nelson Cruz could play the outfield once a week if you needed to.
Yeah. Well, and I never, you know, obviously, I don't think you did see much of his Japanese days either. or Japan Days, whatever you want to call it. But I would assume with a guy with an arm like he has, he would still be sufficient in the outfield. But, you know, that experiment
yeah,
is too scary for Major League Baseball to try.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of weird for me because I'm trying to think how many throws do they make, you know, really under duress in a season? You know, how many plays do they think he's going to make, you know, that do they think he's going to make out there that, you know, and I get it, he could get injured at any point in time.
Well, as long as he's not playing with Dexter Fowler.
Right, yeah, obviously, you know, and, you know, but it's just, it almost seems like they're, let's go with overprotective.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of what I mean by, you know, like you said, what's the point of really putting him out there to pitch? Because like you said, he's not going to bat the day before or the day after. And then we both know he's going to be limited. You know, Joe didn't trust his Cy Young contending. You know, I think, what's his name? Hendricks was up there in the vote.
Yeah.
He didn't trust him to go past 4 1/3 innings if there was a double hit. So what happens with a guy coming back from Tommy John?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, how does he handle a guy that they're going to tell him that he has to be careful with?
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, that it, you know, it'll be, and what, you know, what kind of baffles me is like, I can understand, you know, okay, you don't want him to hit the day before he pitches. But why can't he hit the day after?
Well, you know those. You know,
yeah. What's kind of the hold up there that he can't? You know, I get it that they have their, you know, their and whatever else they want him to go through, but does that really involve him not being able to hit? So, and before you know, as we're slowing up here, I want to switch off on you here because I found this one kind of, you know, kind of fun. It's always kind of fun to talk about this one. You know, it's possible the Lions could be down to the third string quarterback come Thursday morning here because the game, I think, starts at like 11:30, so maybe we'll call it afternoon, you know, against the Bears. Now, they reached out to Josh Johnson, who couldn't sign with them because I think it was just last week or a week ago or 2 weeks ago, he signed with the XFL. So, of course, Dan, the Lions were actually one of the six teams that made the extra travel to go to the Colin Kaepernick tryout. So you know the magic, Dan. Why did they not call Kaepernick?
Because it's the would there be a better city for him to go to?
Detroit? Yeah. An all-American city like Detroit? Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. That one's kind of baffling. You know, why not just – you're right. You know, why aren't they looking into it? Are they afraid of the backlash?
You know, to tell the truth, maybe they have, and, you know, it just hasn't came out publicly. But, you know, the Josh Johnson thing came out because apparently the XFL told him he couldn't sign with the NFL because of the parameters of his XFL contract. So –
oh, wow.
So, but yeah, I just thought, because, you know, again, this is when it's always going to come up, you know, is when a team has an issue like this. And, you know, you do wonder. I mean, let me see if I can get this guy's name here. If they, you know, and like Jeff Driscoll has been filling in for Matthew Stafford, and with the exception of last week, he hasn't done badly. But if he can't play this week, Dan, the Lions' starting quarterback will be an undrafted rookie by the name of David. I'm going to guess this is Blough, B-L-O-U-G-H. So.
They can't use Chase Daniels, too?
No, unfortunately they can't. And, you know, it appears that, you know, Matthew Stafford and that back injury is still unable to play.
No Cam Newton.
There aren't a ton of quarterbacks out there on the open market at this time of year, and the trading deadline has passed, so you can't do anything there. But, you know, I guess, you know, maybe it's just the possibility of, you know, if they're just finding this out, or even if they knew after Sunday's game, they're playing on a Thursday. That doesn't exactly give a brand new quarterback a lot of time to come in and learn everything. So is that going to be their excuse, or do you think that might actually be it?
I think that could be it. I mean, where are they at in the standings? I mean, is it some kind of make or break game? I mean, have the Bears been playing that bad where Detroit can kind of move themselves up?
It's one of those things where, you know, if they could win out, they would probably contend for a playoff spot, but they would probably have to win out. You know, very much in a situation like the Bears are in, they're probably going to have to win every game. So,
I don't know. I feel like the NFL is pretty much the only league where you get to a certain point and it's like, why are the rest of these teams having games anymore?
Well, you know, there's some teams you could have asked that question from the start of the season. So.
Yeah, that's true. Are the Jaguars in that boat?
No, you know, they played decently for a while. You know, they've struggled here a little bit lately. But, you know, there's some teams like, you know, like we knew the Dolphins were, you know, from last year. You know, we knew the Dolphins were going to tank this year. You know, the Bengals looked to be in that same boat, and obviously the Redskins. You know, so, yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, why do these guys have to play the season? Let's just flip a coin and decide who gets the number one pick and, you know, move along.
Well, you know who's not losing it and tanking it is my Snake League team.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think I've come to the point, Big Jack, where I don't think I'm any good at the auction portion of the NFL, but I'm doing pretty well with the snake, the traditional. It's a little bit easier. But, you know, to be honest, I'm 8-4, and I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, I'm doing okay in our league this year. So, you know, I'm hoping to find my way into the playoffs. And, you know, I haven't gotten great quarterback play. So, if that helps out, you know, the one problem is my quarterback on the one team was Matt Stafford. So I picked up Jeff Driscoll when Stafford got hurt. And now I don't know if Driscoll's not going to play. I don't know what I'm going to do. So.
Yeah,
that's tough. Yeah.
I had one of my best weeks, 181. I had 181 points.
You know, and I went out, you know, I was searching the waiver wire, but hopefully, you know, it'll it'll work out for me. But yeah, that, well, you know, that's good for you. That this is like the best year you've had.
Hands down, it's not even like the best year, Big Jack. It is the best year in however many years we've been doing this, and I'm in third to your first. So if all plays well, oh, it might be you and I in the finals. So
I didn't realize I was, you know, in first place in any of.
So. Yeah, you know, you're sitting pretty at 10-2. We have one other guy at 10-2, and then we have one division where I don't even think the first place guy should be in it. He's sitting number 4 at 6-6, and
oh,
their league, their division, yeah, their division is just horrible. So, you know, in any other division, they'd be in the 4th or 5th spot. But you are sitting in the toughest division, as you have 1, 6, 7, and 8 in your.
Dude. And how's Mr. Fantasy? Has he been eliminated from playoff contention yet?
Oh yeah, he's definitely. Well, you know, for a guy who's not changing his lineup, he's 3-9. So I find that pretty interesting. But I'm assuming 19-20 aren't doing much either. We do have an 0-12 team, so I can't remember,
oh, yeah?
Big Jack, but is that a first? I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have that guy.
Yeah, we've never had a team go through a season without getting at least one win. Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, you'll play them soon, or, you know, pick up an easy win.
I already played Mr. Fantasy. And how many weeks does this go? Oh, wow, I didn't realize the next week's the last week, Big Jack.
Oh, is it? Week 13 is the last week of the regular season?
Well, week 14. Oh, yeah, you're right. We didn't start this week yet.
Holiday thing
is throwing me off.
Because I play Mr. Fantasy this week.
Oh.
Yeah,
you're not getting knocked out of number one.
You know, hopefully that'll work out for me there.
I am projected to lose this week, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but you know, have you changed your lineup yet? You know, I mean, that's always the big thing. So, you know, because they're basing it off, you know, you don't know if you're going to start these guys or how that's going to work out. So it's always a little weird.
You know, fortunately for me, this is the interesting league because I ended up with Baker Mayfield and Andy Dalton, which Dalton's been doing okay until they stopped playing after the bye week.
He's back.
Oh, he is back starting. But, you know, Mayfield is ranked up to 56 right now, and last week he scored me 25 points. So it's kind of a rough one.
Well, you know, Cleveland's got a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way, so he may be good for you.
Mm-hmm. So maybe not good for you if it's me and you in the finals.
Oh, you know, it may be one of these years where I have a really good regular season and then just everything catches up to me because of my, you know, my quarterback play and stuff. So we'll see how it goes. So 3 and 5 o'clock tomorrow.